everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Brett Williams. This is Classical Guitar Insider, and on the show today is Yen Lee, the guitarist, young guitarist, whose new album, Beautiful, features music from the 1970s, popular music from the 1970s, arranged for solo guitar by Yen herself. You can purchase some of these arrangements on her website. And also, I'm going to be talking to Camille Nelson, who is out in Salt Lake City doing fingerstyle guitar, with the whole slapping and all that stuff, and playing some fiddle on top of it, too. That's Camille Nelson I'll be talking to in a while. And the show is sponsored, as always, by SavageClassical.com. That's S-A-V-A-G-E, Classical.com. Richard Sage out there at Bayshore, New York, will hook you up with the guitar of your dreams. All you have to do is call SavageClassical.com, S-A-V-A-G-E, Classical.com. Show is also sponsored by WarbyParkerTrial.com. WarbyParker.com is a place you don't want to go to. Don't go to WarbyParker.com because I don't work for free. All right, Warby Parker, I'm on to you. I know what you want. You want people to hear your name, Google it, and then go around me so I don't make any money, but I'm talking about you. That's not the way it's going to work anymore with any of these things. It's warbyparkertrial.com/insider. That's where good people go. Good people also, Warby Parker is for glasses. What they do is they send you a bunch of glasses, you try on what you want, you ship the rest back. You could just do that over and over again as far as I'm concerned. warbyparkertrial.com/insider if you wear glasses. I don't, or I was blessed. But I don't know how much longer it's going to last because both my parents wear glasses, so my time is coming soon. Even though I have a lot of carrot juice. I actually drink a lot of carrot juice, so maybe I'll be in the clear there. What do you guys think about that? Fun facts? I'll tell you about another fun fact. How about CasperTrial.com/insider? You need a new mattress? Who doesn't? You can get rid of that old flea bag that you've been sleeping on. You know, that you know you probably had a, I don't know, you had a night. Maybe you you got to get rid of it. You got to have a clean, firm mattress. It's the key to a good night's sleep. CasperTrial.com/insider will send you a mattress. I think you just unroll it like a magic carpet of sleep. That's my copy for you, Casper. A magic carpet of sleep. CasperTrial.com/insider. Just do it. Don't go to Casper.com. It's not a place. It's a place where bad people go. Good people. People who believe in truth, justice, the American way, and cheese. Go to CasperTrial.com/insider. And also audibletrial.com. That's right. I'm a big boy now, okay? I got to use this to make some money, folks. I have really enjoyed not teaching. I do not want to do it. I don't think I want to do it all the time, right? I mean, I love teaching. I'm just not going back to that particular school, but, you know, I don't know what to say. I'll say this. This is what I'll say. Also, go to audibletrial.com/insider for a 30-day free trial and a free audiobook download of your choice on us here at Classical Guitar Insider. That's right. audibletrial.com/insider. Not audible.com. I'm going to talk to Camille Nelson now. Camille Nelson is a, as I said, a fingerstyle guitarist out of Salt Lake City. And she has a new album coming out. We talk about that, and then we're going to move on to me talking about Yen Lee. So I will catch up with you guys next week more, telling you how things are going. I'm going to Nashville this Thursday to see my friend Eamon, who's a fiddle player out there, and hang out. Me and Caroline just doing our thing, getting a little vacation time in finally. I have not left New York since I got out of work. I just went upstate for like a day. But that doesn't count. All right, so now I'm going to Nashville for a big boy vacation. Going to go see what's going on out there, right? See what's going on in the South, all right? See what's going on through your minds. What are you guys thinking at this point in the game, all right? I mean, I hope I don't have to talk about politics while I'm down there, but we'll see. Anyway, on with the show. Here is Camille Nelson. the kind of guitar playing you're doing is a mixture of folk, classical. You're doing the slap sort of stuff. What do you call that slap stuff? I mean, the movie August Rush?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so what do you call that?
And it's funny that you say that, because I actually studied with Khaki King for a little bit, who did the guitar all in that show.
So it wasn't a three-year-old kid playing guitar like that. There was actually an adult behind it, and children shouldn't be expected to play guitar like August Rush.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's good. So look for that, kids. It's not a kid playing.
No, not a kid playing. Sorry to burst your bubble.
And it's the kid from whatchamacallit. It's the kid from Love Actually, too. It's the little drummer boy.
He's cute. He's adorable.
But let's just say, kids, it takes a long time to do what you do, Camille, and you didn't just pick that up. Where did you pick that up, and what's the style of that stuff? What did you say the teacher was that you had?
Oh, Khaki King.
Khaki King. I don't know that world that much. I don't know the acoustic guitar world that much, but Khaki King is one of the big guys with that stuff.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's absolutely amazing. She's in Brooklyn, New York, and has come out with several CDs. I think she was on the Sony label for a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I took from her when I was living in Nashville just via Skype, and then I got to go up to New York and meet her, and we just kind of had like a guitar powwow for a day. But that style, there's so many different names to it. People call slap guitar, percussive guitar. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of settled on modern fingerstyle guitar. I think that's what they've
fingerstyle is what we call. Yeah, I think that's what we call. Yeah, exactly. That's what they settled on it. Because I don't know if you've been around for a long time, if you're old or whatever. But but the point is I don't think it was always called fingerstyle. I don't remember when I was a kid, kind of the I guess you'd say like Leo Kottke, something like that.
Exactly. Yeah, Leo Kottke, Michael Hedges. Kind of the pioneer in, mm-hmm. in what's now called fingerstyle, but for a while it was percussive.
Yeah, and it wasn't
so many percussive elements. And things,
yeah, it was sort of post roots fingerstyle. You know, that's sort of what we're talking about here. Sort of the new.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a modern sound. It does not sound like I don't know who you would say, but I don't remember those names enough. I memorize them and then I forget them. But sort of the old sort of fingerstyle. Folky sort of thing. That's not exactly what's going on with you. You've got something very modern out there, right?
Yeah. So so I grew up playing classical violin, and so I was influenced by that and took classical guitar just for a little bit, and mm-hmm. then moved to Nashville, did some songwriting in the folk genres and pop genres, and then I came out with a CD back in 2009 that was kind of more pop and rock.
Yeah.
Pop music is kind of just where my soul lies. I don't know. I think I was really, you know, Whitney Houston, Janet Jackson, The Cars, whatever.
Yeah.
Depeche Mode. I was really influenced by those when I was growing up. But I've taken just all of those influence, classical, folk, pop, and I do a lot of that in my own playing and instrumental guitar. And so the album that's coming up recently, or the upcoming album on August 18th, it kind of fuses a lot of those things. There's like some bluegrass, there's some folk, some classical, there's even, you know, a little Irish in there. So
yeah, but you do your own thing. You do your own thing, and then also you play some violin in it. That's what I saw from the video, the promo video, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So you still play violin. I mean, you play well. So that's what you grew up playing, though, was mostly the violin.
Was it? Yeah, it was mostly the violin. I did that throughout high school, and then I started playing guitar. And guitar is probably my love, where my passion lies. I love the violin. I wouldn't consider myself like a complete classical prodigy, but that the guitar is really where my heart lies.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with those instruments. Those instruments end up, you know, they end up, I feel like they end up alienating a lot of really great musicians, because your feeling is you're sitting there and you're just naturally inclined to want to become a competitive concert pianist or violinist instead of actually, you know, kind of get out there and see what you can do, what you know, where your strengths lie as a musician. And you found that with guitar, it seems like. Guitar and there's no voice, right? There's a little bit of singing.
Yeah, there's a little bit of singing. And I...
How does that go?
Yeah, there's just one song that We had, so Be Down My Vision, we collaborated, with Alex Sharp. She used to sing in Celtic Woman. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
That sounds familiar. Yeah, I think I am, yeah.
Yeah, so she, so it's an Irish hymn, and it was my dream to get one of the Celtic Woman, and ironically, they were just in the studio, like, 3 weeks before we recorded it, so I was like, we've got to get them on the phone, like, right now, so we got them on the phone, and they recorded the track in Gaelic over in Ireland, and then sent it over to us, and I was just blown away, and so that's the only track where there's vocals on it, but it's in Gaelic, so I don't know how your Gaelic is, mine isn't so great. Mine's horrible.
But.
Yeah.
It's the worst Gaelic I've ever heard. It comes out of my mouth. I'm shocked. But as far as, yeah, Be Thou My Vision. Oh, that says it. Be Thou My Vision. Isn't that it?
Yeah.
That's exactly. The one. Yep. I did that at a wedding like a couple of months ago with my girlfriend.
Oh, no way.
For her family.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. I like that song too.
How cool. Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. So beautiful. Just an amazing melody. And it turned out really well.
Yeah, it did. Well, you know, I appreciate you coming on. Are you ever going to come through New York? Yeah, right? Of course you are at some point. You were in Brooklyn. You know, I'm in Brooklyn. This is being recorded in Brooklyn right now. Do you know that?
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know. I knew you were in New York. I wasn't quite sure.
Well, I used to be a big city guy, but I'm slowing down, you know, and so I moved to Brooklyn.
That's awesome.
It's still big enough. It's still a pain.
It's still a pain.
Yeah. But anyway, so you, well, thank you for coming on. And if you're ever in New York, or if I'm ever in Salt Lake City, which is not outside of the realm of possibility, I want to visit it. My brother actually lived there when he was, there was a girl going to college there. I guess, is Brigham Young there? Isn't that? She was going to school there, and she, and then, you know, the next thing you know, he moves out there following her around, and it didn't work out. But that's my Salt Lake City story. I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, dang it. But he got to... Yeah, I did enjoy it.
All right. Well, Camille, if you're ever in New York, you got to hit me up, okay? And tell us real quick one time, the release of the album is August 18th.
August 18th.
And I'll say it again, you know, during the show, probably every 5 seconds, we'll interrupt the interview, and I'll talk about your album. But you're talking about August 18th. What's the name of the album?
Lead Me Home.
Lead Me Home. What's that title come from? Why'd you call it Lead Me Home?
And, you know, there's a mixture of arrangements of hymns and originals in there. So when I thought of the title, and when we came up with the title, me and the label guy, we thought about where music comes from and where music leads us. And I grew up just, you know, whatever your faith might be,
yeah.
You know, I think music has always been a way for me to access whether you believe in a higher being or spirituality or whatever, but music has always been a way for me to access God or to access my own spirituality and just God is our creator and he who leads us home. That's how that title all came about. So,
well, that's good. That is true. I mean, music's role in the service is huge. I mean, it's half of what's going on in church, right? I mean, half the time you're singing, at least.
Totally, absolutely, yeah. And that's where I get that. I think music has always been my favorite part of church. And
you know, what's interesting about church is that you know, I'm now starting to try, and this is the first time I'm saying this on the show. I'm a classical guitarist. I'm a solo guitarist, more or less. But I'm trying to sing and play. I'm trying to write music like you know, like you do. And it's frightening. Yeah. I cannot, for the life of me, sing in front of even one person. It's the most mind-bendingly vulnerable thing I've ever done.
Oh, singing is definitely the most vulnerable thing. I mean, because it's like a part of you,
yeah.
You know, it won't go away.
And it's, you're just sitting there. You cannot hide. You can't say like, it's something about the guitar and being able to just sort of hide behind it. But I really, you know, I don't know. I didn't have enough respect for what singers go through. But at church, everybody gets to sing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone gets up there. We're all singing together.
All right. There you go. So, well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And the album comes out on the 18th. Take Me Home.
Yeah. Lead Me Home.
Lead me home. Lead Me Home. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Lead Me Home.
Yeah.
Lead Me
yeah.
Home. By and so thank you so much, Camille.
Okay. Well, thank you, Brett.
And we're here with your husband, Joe, is on the couch right over there. How are you doing, Joe?
Good.
And are you guys, did you guys get married here, or are you from, are you from Seoul?
Yes, we are from South Korea, Seoul. That's where we met. But we kind of came here together to New York, and we got married here in 2014, was it?
Oh, you got married here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then are you a musician too, Joe?
No, I'm an illustrator.
You're an illustrator?
Yeah, and doing painting.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. did you do the cover?
Yeah, I did cover.
The album's called Beautiful, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And you did the cover to it.
Yes.
That's a good looking cover. I got it right here. Where is it? I got the Spotify rolling, even though I know Spotify. Oh, that's really, that is a cool.
It is. Thing. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. It's got you in a yellow shirt. Oh, it's really beautiful. All right, so, Yen, we will definitely get back to you. Because you are the guest of honor. This show isn't about Joe, but Joe, what do you use there? Is that stencil?
Actually, that's digital Illustrator.
So it's just a digital Illustrator?
Yeah. Adobe Illustrator.
Yeah.
I sketched first with pencil.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
He, like, scanned it.
I mean, it really looks like her.
Thank you.
You know, even though it's like a representation, it does look like you. Like, it looks like the same shape, like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's amazing. All right. So thanks. Then, did you guys meet at art school, or...
We met in church.
Yeah.
Oh, you met in church?
Yeah, we both go to church.
You both go to church. And there's like a big sort of Korean church community in New York. I mean, I know it's living in the Upper East Side. I don't know if there's a church up there.
There used to be one, mm-hmm. but they moved downtown.
The one on the Upper East Side? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if we are talking about the same church, but there used to be a big one on the Upper East Side.
Right.
And that moved down to the Hotel Pennsylvania, I think.
When did that move?
A few months ago.
Okay, so that's the one I'm thinking of, because I used to live up there, and I think I want to say it's on 92nd, 91st.
Right,
something.
Right. Yeah, that's the one.
In an old theater.
Right, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it became a theater, and then it became a Korean church, and I saw, like, it just seemed like a huge community of people.
It is.
What kind of denomination is that? Is that Catholic, or what are we talking about?
Presbyterian.
There? Presbyterian? Yeah. Is that the biggest... Christian religious sect in Korea?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure, but I think so.
But that's is that your church?
No, we go to a different church.
You go to a different one. So you guys met at church, and that's and everything else is history. You guys met at church in Korea, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you guys got married here.
Yep.
How long have you been here, Yen?
I came here in 2010, so it's been six, seven years now.
2010?
Mm-hmm.
And you came to study with who?
Well, I came to Manus.
You went to Manus first?
For my master's, and I studied with Michael Newman.
You did.
He's a great teacher.
He's a sweet guy, too.
Great person.
Yeah.
And then I went to Manhattan School of Music for my doctorate, and I studied with David Starobin there.
You went with David Starobin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting, because with his the way that he approaches music, this would be something that he wouldn't do, right? Because he doesn't do even covers of Bach music.
Right.
Is he aware of the blasphemy that you were committing?
Yeah, I even gave him my CD.
You haven't given it to him?
I have.
Oh, okay.
I gave him my CD.
Yeah. And he loves it.
And I guess he likes it.
He should always, I think they should always be proud, but go ahead.
Well, I think that he likes to play authentic guitar music.
Yeah.
But stuff he's original. Open to other things. He is.
Yeah.
Actually.
And that may have changed in recent years, because I'm a little older. I'm 40. Mm-hmm. I went to Manus too for my master's.
Yeah, yeah.
Back then he was pretty stringent about, like, he was like, you should only play music, but I think he's probably softened, because the man I know is very kind of like, he's gentle. There's a gentleness to him now.
Yes.
That I don't know was always there, but
he
is kind. Yeah.
I went to have a lesson with him once. during the years at Manhattan School of Music.
Yeah.
And I was feeling a little sick.
Yeah.
And he gave me medicine.
He gave you medicine?
Yes.
What kind of medicine did he give you?
You know, those, things for cold, flu.
Yeah, like an Advil cold and sinus or something along
those
lines.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember which ones they were, but he was like looking for specific medicine.
Yeah, he was like trying to take care of you.
Give them to me, yeah.
Oh, that's good. So as far as what you got from him, what would you say you mostly got from him? Was it more technique? Was it musicality? Like, what side of the spectrum do you think your study with Steriben fell on?
I guess it's a little bit of both.
But
he's definitely specific about... I don't want to say specific. He's very serious with his interpretation.
Yeah.
So I would have to play one note like several times differently to find what he likes.
Right.
Yeah.
So interpretation was the big thing. One note several times differently, or a group of notes, a figure, and really get it to where something where he thought, now that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he had a way of taking it and saying certain things make sense, certain things don't make sense, and making sure that you were aware of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But he's still open to
other new
ideas.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, he's a new music guy. Would assume that there's certain sort of liberalism to the way that he interprets music. And then, as far as your studies with Michael Newman, I know Mike pretty well. He seems like he can go all over the place, right? I mean, he can.
Yeah, he's in Italy now.
He's in Italy now. As far as the actual physical place, but as far as his instruction is concerned, do you think that I kind of felt with him that he was very historically grounded. He wanted you to understand the historic implications of the piece. Mm-hmm. He wanted you to know, for instance, what a barcarolle was, that it's a boat song or whatever. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. I'm like classic mispronunciation guy. But what was your experience with Michael Newman? And did you study at all with Laura or just Michael?
Just Michael.
Yeah.
Well, I came to New York and I started studying with Michael directly in 2010. And I felt he was like my American godfather or something,
Really? Did you go to the festival first?
He would give me like advice, like information, a lot of information.
Yeah.
And he would teach me English lessons. in our guitar lessons.
Yeah. That was his thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Language.
Yeah, language, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I learned a lot from him. Many different things, not just guitar.
I mean, I know that he seems to have some sort of a connection to you guys, and like he seems it's he takes you personally, right? I mean, you guys have more than just a good relationship.
I think we do.
A real friendship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And he really made sure. Were you uncomfortable coming here, at first?
No.
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 You were fine. So you felt very grounded, very at home. You had him with you.
Yeah. He's like my manager.
Yeah.
We are each other's manager, actually.
Right. Is that right? You guys manage each other? How does that work? Do you seriously actually like to ask people?
No, I'm saying wherever he goes, I try to go with him.
Yeah.
For support,
Yeah, I noticed that. Like, you've been around, I met her twice, and you're there. That's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, support.
Like, yesterday, he had to go to a different neighborhood of Brooklyn, which was where? Gowanus?
Gowanus.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
To meet somebody, and I followed him.
Yeah.
Well, that's big, yeah.
Well, I didn't have to go, but I still went anyways, because, we like to accompany each other.
Yeah. Well, it's still an adventure, too, like going to new neighborhoods and stuff like that.
That's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Like, to have someone there with you instead of you just, then you have someone, something to share. Like, oh, that was a cool neighborhood. What did you think about Gowanus? Were you there for some sort of art thing?
Like kind painting? Of. Well, he had to meet, he had to drop off a painting, small painting.
To a curator who's going to have a show in
at RISD. It's Rhode Island School of Design.
Yeah, man, where the Talking Heads went to school. Did you know that?
Who?
The Talking Heads.
Talking Heads.
The Talking Heads, the band, went to school at Rhode Island. So they're you're gonna do a show at RISD?
Yeah, a group show.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, I have a group show, yes.
With the guys from Gowanus?
Yes.
Yes.
And so she's, and you're gonna manage. You're gonna manage him for that.
No.
Make sure.
Yeah.
But you like Gowanus, though? It's cool, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty neat neighborhood.
It's a good neighborhood.
Yeah. Be there, but this a really cool place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got the shuffleboard place. Did you see that?
No.
Royal Palms. You got an ice cream place. There's all sorts of fun stuff.
I mean, we were there only like 1 or 2 hours.
As far as, starting out with the guitar, did you start out with the guitar? Obviously, you started in Korea.
Uh-huh.
You've been playing for a long time. What was your first experience there, teacher-wise?
Teacher-wise?
Yeah.
Like my teacher?
Yeah, who was your teacher? And how did you start with rock and roll or did you start with classical?
I started with classical.
Yeah.
There was this guitar school.
Mm-hmm.
This is common in Korea. There are like all sorts of schools specialized in things for kids.
Right.
Uh huh.
Right.
And there was this guitar
freestanding
school.
Buildings. You'd go into them, and yeah,
mm-hmm.
they were all about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, I started when I was about 10, 11 years old, 11, 12.
Mm-hmm.
And my teacher, his name is Seungbum An.
Seungbum An.
Yeah, his first name is Seungbum, last name An.
Yeah.
And he was a really good guitar player, classical.
Yeah.
And so he taught me, and then I switched to a different teacher who was more, I don't know, strict and disciplined.
Yeah.
And we mainly worked on techniques.
So Mr. An was a little more better for you as a young child.
Yeah, he was soft.
Yeah, and then what age did you move to the new guy?
Probably around 14, 15, when I was in middle school.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about when you kind of got to get less soft. It's time to start, getting the big guns out.
Yes.
And so did you stay at the same school while you were doing that?
No, I went to a different school.
Different school, different mm-hmm. person.
Yeah, different person. Thing. It's like one teacher owns the place.
So one guitar teacher per school.
Exactly, yes.
All right, which I think Americans can learn a lot from because that way people can actually have careers.
Uh-huh.
Because here what they do at these schools is they hire people. They're like, okay, do you have Wednesday free? And you're like, yeah. And then they're like, well, we've already got a guy there on Thursday, but he can't do Wednesdays. So you end up with these little piecemeal contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really, teach children for a living for too long without going broke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there, is it a little more of a career? Like, people will do this, and this is what they'll... But you also said that he's also a...
I think so, yeah.
Not a famous classical guitarist, but a practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually out there giving concerts. Your first teacher, Seungbum An.
Yes. Oh, you have a good memory, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, Mr. An.
Mr. An, yes.
He was a professional guitarist. He wasn't that famous, but... Yeah.
Well, I like to make sure people know the names of these guitar teachers.
Yes.
I like to give them a little bump, too, because uh-huh. they're often completely overlooked and
mm-hmm.
and yet they have such a huge impact on us and what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so he was a professional guitarist, and he would have a recital like every other year, probably.
Yeah.
And what I like about these schools is that you don't go there only once a week.
Yeah.
You can go there like every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, paying the same amount of money. You can just stay there to practice, whatever, and the teacher would come and give advice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it was like a home. Like uh-huh. a safe place to be a musician.
Yeah. It's where parents would like to send, It's safe.
Yeah.
And they actually do something.
Yeah. It's a garden of music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so you spent hours there. As a little, as a little kid,
I think I went there like 3 days a week.
Yeah,
to Mr. An's.
Yeah.
And then when I switched to...
So it was Mr. Ahn's. That was the name of the place?
It was, you know, his name, guitar school.
And so he was, but he was the head guitar teacher. So there were other mm-hmm. guitar teachers there too?
No, he was the only one.
It was only him. But it was a building and like it was its own thing. It wasn't just his house or...
It's like a studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One room in a building.
Yeah. But he would let you practice and then he'd go doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you'd spent hours there.
I spent hours there, yes.
And what were you working on? Like, you know, as far as before you were, you know, a middle school age, 13, 14 years old, when you ended up moving on, what were you working on with Mr. Ahn? Like...
pieces?
Mm-hmm.
I remember learning Magic Flute Variations in my...
The soul?
Almost first year, because I learned fast. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really... Okay. So he had you doing this soar Mozart variation.
Yeah, that, I mean, not at the very beginning, but...
Right.
Well, I had played piano prior to my guitar studies. And, well, I have a good ear, so I could, like, learn the guitar quickly, like, almost by myself, even at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I would play a string... And I would know what pitch that is.
Yeah.
Because I have perfect pitch.
You do? Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah.
So I could like learn all the notes on the frets by myself. I didn't have to look at a book or anything. So I think I learned pretty, like, oh, pretty fast. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's how I learned, you know, big piece in my first year.
Your big piece was not necessarily the notes. You didn't learn it with the score at all? Or
I learned with score.
But you were able to remember it quickly and internalize it because you were able to connect it with your previous knowledge of, you know, sight singing ear training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So you've always been good at that. You've always... Did you ever sing in a choir at church or anything like that?
I sang in choir in church when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm not a good singer, though.
I don't really consider myself a good singer either, but I can do the same sort of thing where I can match pitch, you mm-hmm. know, fairly well.
Yeah.
Pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Very well.
Okay. But
as far as moving on, you then moved on after you're already playing soar variations. So mm-hmm. does he approach you? Because you're obviously very good. Are you giving concerts at that point? Are you giving small half-hour recitals?
Not really.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Ahn decided to go to Spain to study further. That's why he...
Oh, so he was a young man.
He was in his 30s.
Yes, that's a young
40s,
man.
30s, 40s, yeah.
But he studied more at that age.
Well, he ended up not studying more.
Was he going with Jose Tomas, or...
I mean, I lost contact with him, so I'm not sure. Mm. So, well, anyways, I switched to Mr. Byung-hun Ha.
That's a little harder for me.
Okay.
Byung-hun Ha?
Ha. Mr. Ha.
Ha.
Ha. Ha. Yeah.
But Byung-hun.
Yes.
Byung-hun Ha.
Yes.
Okay.
That's perfect.
Yeah, thank you very much. Maybe I'm part Korean somewhere. Byung-hun Ha. I took Japanese, but Japanese and Korean have absolutely nothing I find in common.
Yeah, well, very few things in common.
Right. As far as
that's a funny thing, because, you know, people seem to think that Chinese, Korean, and Japanese are all the same. And they would talk to me in Chinese.
Thinking you would get it?
Uh-huh.
No problem.
No.
Well, in particular, Japanese to me just seems very... linguistically isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like, whereas the Chinese and Korean has a little more in common to me. It doesn't sound the same at all. I mean, you guys definitely...
I know.
But there's a lot of twisting and turning in the Korean.
Yeah. Well, for the record, I think Japanese and Chinese have more characters, letters
in characters,
common.
The characters, yeah.
Yeah, we don't
the
use
kanji.
Those...
Yeah.
Kanji? I don't know what it's called.
Really, yeah, something.
I mean, we don't use those old Chinese characters anymore in Korea.
No.
We used to, you know, a long time ago. We don't anymore. But I think Japanese still
They do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have the same, like, chi is still the same between those two and stuff like that. But as far as, so we're talking about Byung-hun Ha.
Yes.
And that's
Mr.
your
Ha.
Second teacher. Mr. Ha.
Yes.
Who was the first one? Mr. what? No, I forgot
An.
His name. Mr. Ahn. Mr. Ha is next.
Mr. Ha.
He comes
yes.
in. How does he enter into your life?
Well, we really focused on our technique.
Yeah.
Like, I would play the same scale with all different combinations of right-hand fingers.
Of right-hand fingers.
Mm-hmm. Like, am I, mm-hmm. and I am alternating, yeah. you know, without using the same finger twice in a row.
Yes.
AI, IA, AM, MA, AMI, everything.
AMI, uh-huh. which is the mother of all. That's the hard one. Right.
Yeah.
So you would do that. So uh-huh. he was technique. He was like, we're going to fix you up. We're going to make you, right, we're going to yeah. tighten up your technique.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, your right hand. And at that point, did you have nails or no?
I always had nails.
Always had nails. Mm-hmm. All right. So he's got you doing your right hand technique with your scales. You doing Segovia scales?
I think he made his own like addition of scales.
Mr. Ha did?
He had his own technique books.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Which were really good.
They were really good.
Yeah.
And they would focus.
I still have them.
You do? Mm-hmm. You still go back to them?
Yes.
That's really cool. It's really, that's really special that you were with a technician mm-hmm. at that age.
You know?
At that age. It's very, very important, you know, so that when you do have to go into the auditions,
mm-hmm.
that you're in there solid. You know what I mean? You aren't something that because with me, they needed to completely rip me down and build me back up.
Uh-huh.
Because my technique was just non-existent.
Yeah.
So I went to Texas first, and Adam just had us not play anything for the first year.
Mm-hmm.
We just had to play Shear. Like, yeah. read book one.
Adam Holzman?
Adam Holzman, yeah.
Were you in, is it Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was there, mm-hmm. and he completely just, the first year I didn't play any pieces. It was all etudes, mm-hmm. like early etudes, like just simple PIM etudes,
mm-hmm.
slowly.
Mm-hmm.
To build technique. So I had to completely redesign it. You know, it was hard.
It is.
But
yeah.
I think a lot of teachers do that. And so, but you were with this guy who really had an understanding of that. What did he do out of curiosity? And I you know, I'm always really curious about what people do in other countries, technique-wise. But what did he do with your right-hand wrist? Was it lowered or raised or just right in the middle? Just right about there. Just very natural.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. But one thing I noticed recently yeah. is that, well, I think most Koreans use their thumbs
mm-hmm.
this way. I don't know how to describe this.
Extended?
Mm-hmm, extended.
So if people don't know what we're talking about flexion. Of uh-huh. course, the thumb moving towards the palm.
Exactly.
And extended, the thumb being bent away from the palm.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying most Koreans have an extended thumb?
Yeah.
Whereas here, we're really pushing right now
yeah.
for people to flex their thumbs,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right, as a healthy way. But so you found in Korea that people were doing a lot more of this?
Yeah, I mean, right. that seemed normal to me.
Yeah.
And then since I came here, I've seen a lot of people doing that crooked thumb.
Like, yeah, crooked thumb.
Yeah.
Flexed thumb. Yeah.
Flexed or, thumb.
I think that's the word that we've decided to describe this movement,
uh-huh.
and then extension is this.
Okay.
Just, and that's like Aaron Shear method.
Uh-huh.
That stuff, they describe it as flexion, extension, flexion, extension. I could be wrong, but I like the idea of crooked. I think that's more apt to describe
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh.
But as far as you crooking your thumb, yeah, that's something that's relatively new to people like not David Stair, but David Leisner,
mm-hmm.
as a result of dystonia and stuff like that. A lot of dystonia yeah. research is finding that it's helping if you're flexing your thumb rather than extending it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's almost like it seems like it may be more of like a hand health issue.
Right.
But whereas, yeah, if you look at the way, I think even like you look at old videos of Segovia or something, you're seeing a lot of this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because I think it's like
extended, and also that allows for an easier rest stroke thumb melody, like a Villalobos melody mm-hmm. or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. So that's an interesting
So I tried this flexed thumb.
Yeah.
You know, for a few days.
Yeah.
But it didn't really work for me.
It didn't.
I'm too used to having this thumb extended rather than flexed.
Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with that. As
okay.
long as you can still continue to do your thing. If it's not causing any trouble, if it causes trouble, then you fix it. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We all have to at some point you just have to drop the whole chasing the technique dragon, you know, mm-hmm. and like just going, okay, at some point I'm going to have to do things the way I do it. You know, it's that sort of reconciliation. As far as the album is concerned, going back to the album for a little bit, which again, Joe the cover.
Joe the cover.
Joe the cover master.
Yeah.
You going to do mine? Maybe mine will be pink too. I don't know. Maybe I'll do the whole thing. It's really good. Thank what you. Kind of software do you use for that?
Adobe Illustrator.
Adobe Illustrator.
Yeah.
Man. So what do? You import a photo or no?
Based on photo, but...
But you drew that guitar?
I drew it first, yeah.
He drew that guitar, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the proportions between, like, of that picture are very well done. It seems very...
Even the proportion of the guitar?
Yeah, of your head and the guitar and, you know, where your feet are.
That's,
you know what I mean?
What I do.
There you go. Well, it amazes me. I mean, really good illustrations.
He's really good. He received several awards this year.
I don't doubt it. What else have you done as far as that's concerned? Do you do other album covers?
He has done one before.
Yeah, but it
was an illustration. It was just graphic design.
And it wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Yours is the best.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it was not as good, but yeah. mine's really good.
Yours is really good. And the album is called Beautiful. Uh-huh. It came out this year.
Last year. September.
September 2016?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, close enough. Within the year.
Yeah, have within
you,
a year.
And as far... Okay, so and as far as, you know, making the decision to go with songs of the 70s, pop songs of the 70s, what triggered that? Is that just something you've always liked? You always liked these songs?
Yeah.
You guys are like classic rock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot? Yeah.
Well, I think I like music from that period.
Yeah.
Not too many electronic instruments.
I think, again, same. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. A little bit more...
Acoustic. Simpler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, less busy.
Less busy. Mm-hmm. Right? And as we move into the set, into the 80s, things become, mm-hmm. more efficient.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Even lyrically.
Even lyrically?
Know? Yeah, I think of the 80s.
Yeah, I feel lyrics from old songs are more beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're more poetic.
More poetic, yes.
Yeah. I think I was listening to an interview with the lead singer of Devo. Mm-hmm. Remember Devo? They did Whip It. Whip It Good. You know that song? You can whip it. You don't know that song?
Sorry. We don't know the song.
Well, anyway, so Devo was like sort of like almost like a Talking Heads sort of band.
Mm-hmm.
But Talking Heads started in the 70s. Like 77 was the first Talking Heads album. I love the Talking Heads. But Devo, the guy, I mean, it seems like they were almost like doing art pieces. Like it wasn't just about the music. It was about, I think with the 70s, there weren't music videos maybe, right?
Well, don't ask me. I didn't live in that time period.
Did you? Yeah. But what I mean to say quickly, and then I want to talk about that. You didn't live in the time period. That's true. But as far as like there were music videos in the 80s, so I think people kind of it became more than the music. It became about noises and like impact, artistic impact, rather than just simply making a beautiful song. Which was the focus of music of, the early, mid-70s, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you... So I can see how these would be more conducive to solo guitar.
Yeah. Well, it's just... Well, some of these songs really spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked them. I always wanted to... I always liked playing songs on the guitar.
Yeah.
You know, just, for myself.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it much in public, but I always did it.
Yeah.
And... Well, I wanted to do something that not everyone does.
Yeah.
So I decided to make an album of covers, and I needed some coherence, so I chose songs from the same period.
Right. You needed a kind of a mission statement.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't want to just do all my favorite songs from, like, one from this period, one from that period, different styles, but I feel like these have similar
well, and they're all
elements to it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all lyric. They're all approximately the same size. You know, you've got mm-hmm. things, you know, anything between 3 and 4 minutes is what we're talking about. Yeah. So they're sort of bigger songs. Mm-hmm. And then Beautiful, you may have already told me, but where did the title come from? Just these are all pretty songs, or is there more meaning to you calling it Beautiful? What made you decide to call it Beautiful? That seems like a decision.
It's just, I thought they were all beautiful.
Yeah.
And then as I was studying the lyrics of the songs, I found out that the word beautiful was used the most in these songs. I mean, not in all.
Really?
Yeah, not in like every song from this, but.
But that was the word that happened more often within the songs.
Within these songs, yes.
Right.
Like in He Was Beautiful and in Loving You.
Yeah.
What did she say? Loving you is easy because you're beautiful.
Right.
It says,
"Loving you." That song?
Uh-huh.
Oh, is that the song?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because some of these I don't know. Some of these I'm like, and then if I heard them, I know that they're good. What did you have in Korea? Did you guys have MTV and stuff like that? Well, I guess if you were born in 87, you really weren't really around until 97.
I wasn't around until 97.
Right. So what was the relationship between rock and roll and in South Korea in the 90s? Like what were people listening to? Were they doing Nirvana like they were doing here, or something like that? Yeah.
I can't really tell. But
you were immersed in classical music.
Exactly. But actually, these songs that I recorded, those are the songs my father's generation would love.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And, well, so I'm sure I heard them. I had heard them before I started to like them.
Yeah.
But in my high school years, I remember listening to these songs on a subway train because, a guy was trying to sell these CDs.
Yeah.
Of, popular songs, American
CDs.
Songs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like a five CD set or something.
Oh, wow.
And I don't remember which song I heard at the moment, but I really liked it, and it was only like $10, so I decided to buy them. And so
you have a huge collection of brand new hits.
Exactly,
and all of a sudden you were able to listen to all this stuff that everybody else was listening to for the first time probably in your life.
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
And I really liked most of them.
Yeah. You liked most of them?
Yeah.
You had fun?
Yes.
When was that? You know what year that was?
That was probably when I was around 17.
Oh, perfect.
16, 17.
Good. It's important to kind of reconnect with pop music, I think, after we take this break. I took a huge break, and then I came back, and I found it, and I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I have a pretty good relationship with, I wouldn't say pop music, but I do a lot of indie rock and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get into that stuff?
No, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry.
To be honest, I don't really listen to much music.
Right. You don't?
I don't.
What's your entertainment?
I watch shows.
Yeah.
And I play games.
You play video games?
Well, mobile games.
Mobile games. You do. It's good. This is what people want to know. They want to know what you do.
Well, like, I'm too embarrassed to say what it is, but I play some mobile games.
I have an Xbox, and I'm playing a superhero game called Injustice, where basically I spend about an hour learning how to make Wonder Woman do like a flip kick. Uh-huh. Like that's what I do with my time. So you have nothing to be embarrassed about. Reading fantasy, Hobbit books. I'm a total dork. Don't worry. This whole thing has board games. Stupid
board games.
I love board games.
Okay.
Anyway, so you don't have to tell me what you're playing, but what show are you watching?
Well, I watch so many shows. I watch The Flash.
Oh, you watch The Flash?
Uh-huh.
Oh, there you go.
The Flash.
That's what I'm talking about.
We watch The Iron Fist. We watch The Gotham.
You watch Gotham?
Mm-hmm.
I stopped watching. What's happened? I stopped watching when
when
Mr. Freeze stopped. When Mr. Freeze came in.
That's a long time ago.
That's like a season ago. Maybe two seasons. I don't have.
I think two seasons.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce is on his way to become.
I went through a breakup and lost my TV. That's what happened. I lost cable. So anyway, Bruce is
on his way to become a.
He's Batman. He's on his way.
Mm-hmm. He's growing up.
He's growing up. He found the Batcave.
The Batcave.
Bruce found the Batcave.
Oh no, not yet. Not yet.
He hasn't found the Batcave.
No, but he met with Ra's al Ghul.
Right.
Huh?
He did.
Yeah, he did.
He met with him.
He met with him.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
The owls.
It's a little too complicated.
It's getting complicated, and we're giving away a lot. I don't think anybody is watching. I mean, I think that The Flash. Everybody loves the Flash. The Flash is like big time. Yeah. I liked Gotham. I was into that. I mean, I'm a Batman guy. I like Batman. I think he's the best superhero. Who's your favorite superhero?
My favorite superhero. I don't know. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
Yeah.
I like Captain America.
Oh boy! So you are you're like an Avenger person. You're a Marvel comic person. Yeah. See, I'm more DC myself. Superman, Batman. I don't know. Spider-Man's good. You see the new one? New show? The new movie?
Not yet. We want to.
Maybe you should
sometime soon.
You should go today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a day off. What are you going to do for the rest of the summer? Do you have like big plans, or are you just chilling?
We don't have a big plan, but we have some things that we... excuse me.
That's okay.
Well, you know, as people from a different country, we need a visa, right?
Okay.
Well, I recently got mine, but he needs to get his.
He can just draw. Go ahead.
That's forgery.
It is forgery. I think it's like punishable. Don't listen to me. I don't know how to do that. I can't draw.
So we need to put together documents for his visa. That's what we are going to do for the rest of summer.
That's it.
It's a little sad, but...
No. That's it. My buddy Linus, who is my clarinet player in my quartet. Same thing with his girl. I mean, it was like a huge... It's like all they did. It was like all-encompassing.
It takes a long time.
I think it was two summers ago. They spent literally like... It was like...
Half a
year? She would get stuff. She would come over to me, and I would be signing things. Mm-hmm. It's like... It was like a big deal. She was like working for me. It was like a... It was a mess. It was so stressful for them. And when they it's really, really stressful because you can't be separated.
No.
You know?
No.
And I hope the process isn't being affected too much by all this banana stuff. But, you know.
I don't think it's affecting the visa that we need to get that much.
Right.
So I guess that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's okay too.
Yeah.
But as far as, I hope you get it.
If you
need any help, let me know.
Oh, yeah.
No,
thanks.
I don't know.
You can do it.
Yeah, I can do it.
Yeah.
I can draw it.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm going to get Adobe Photoshop.
Illustrator.
Illustrator, for crying. That thing's expensive. Why is all this stuff so expensive?
I don't know.
Well, there is subscription service now.
Yeah.
You can pay like monthly.
That's nice. Is that what you do? You do the monthly?
Yeah.
That's what I do with Sibelius and, you know, the composition software I use all the time.
Is it? 8?
Seven?
7.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm
it's 8
I'm still
yet.
Using 5 or 6.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, you bought it. You bought it back in the day.
Yeah.
Are you composing a lot? Do you have these written down? Do you have these published? These versions
some
of these 70
some
songs?
Some of them, yeah, some of them I'm selling on my website.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great, yeah. Let me check that out. It's pretty cool. What is it? Photos, my account, shop, sheet music.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. And have you written any original music yet?
Well, I recently wrote one piece, but that's based on an existing song.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say it's like 100% original.
Yeah.
But I wrote a piece based on a Korean traditional tune called Arirang.
Arirang, yeah, yes. The first one right there. And that's right there.
So I did what, you know, classical composers did with, you know, famous theme by making theme, introduction theme and variations. That's what I did.
You went back to your roots, your Mozart sore variation
roots. That's what I wrote my doctoral thesis on.
Was
two?
That or the actual process of writing theme and variations?
Not exactly that, but I wrote about Fernando Sor's fantasies.
Okay.
And a lot of his fantasies are actually theme and variations.
They are. Okay, they are, so because yeah. So, a fantasy should be more or less like a prelude, improvisational.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. So that's why I started looking into these fantasies by Sor.
Yeah.
None of them are actually like completely free form.
They
all have some sort of structure.
They have repetition of the amount of material.
Yeah.
Right, which is not supposed to happen. Doesn't happen with like the Bach prelude.
Not with Baroque or Renaissance.
Yeah. Okay.
Fantasy.
That's interesting. What happens when we crossed from the Baroque to the classical period?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of what happened with the terminology.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of how it like lost like a sonata.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to that? You know, right. How did that go from being a single movement short piece to
To multi-movement.
Multi-movement, massive piano monster.
Monster.
and so when you did that, mm-hmm. you were writing about the Sor fantasies.
Yep.
And what did you find? What was your conclusion?
My conclusion?
Are you doctor? You're doctor.
Yeah, I'm a doctor.
Dr. Lee,
yes.
Dr. Lee.
You don't have to call me that, though.
Dr. Lee.
So there are so many things I can talk about, obviously.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And you don't you can talk about what you want.
Yeah, but one thing I found is that Sor's fantasies, you know, Sor is contemporary with Beethoven.
Yes.
And he was like in transition from what's known as classical period to romantic period. So he was on this transition period.
Yeah.
And I found that his fantasies show his romantic side the most.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so his fantasies were moving into the lighter part of his career. Was he older when he wrote them?
No, well, he wrote them throughout his, you know,
I didn't know that.
Life.
Okay, so yeah.
But when we see a fantasy as a title, we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So with a fantasy, he can basically do whatever he wants.
Right.
Uh-huh. And it could be single movement, it could be two, three movement. It's the composer's choice. So that itself is a romantic element.
The element of throwing away form.
Uh-huh, exactly,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, a Beethoven mm-hmm. sort of.
And a lot of
Haydn battle. Yeah.
And a lot of his fantasies have like common elements between movements, which is also a characteristic of the romantic period.
There are consistencies mm-hmm. in thematic material.
Exactly,
in between movements.
In between
whereas
movements.
Whereas in classical, the...
Not necessarily...
Almost independent.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of the movements are actually connected. So you're supposed to play the second movement directly after the first movement, for example.
Without break?
Without a break.
Okay.
That's the most true with Opus 30, which is the seventh fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's an introduction, theme and variations, in the Sonata Allegro 4 movement.
Okay, so the Sonata Allegro...
So it's basically introduction and two big movements, but you have to play all that without a break.
Huh.
There's no break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's getting wild. He's just, I mean, I guess that's... Yeah, because, you know, we don't even... We forget that after we leave school. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that really is kind of one of the defining principles, if not the first thing you learn mm-hmm. about Beethoven's break from classical is...
Yeah, more unity and coherence.
It's throwing
within,
out a form.
Within a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, and throwing out a form.
You're throwing out a form.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, like the principles of sonata form being abandoned
mm-hmm.
in favor of just doing whatever you want. And yeah. so, you know, you found that you basically... Your conclusion was that the fantasies were Sor's... Were the opportunity that Sor seized
mm-hmm.
to relish in the romantic movement of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That's pretty cool. Did you record those fantasies at all, or did you?
They, you know, actually most of them are really difficult and
like too difficult.
They were Soar's choice of pieces for his own performances.
Yeah.
So that shows that fantasies were his like main pieces, not just his sonatas. I think it seems that people think that his sonatas are the most, you know, the biggest and most important pieces, but the fantasies
seem to be the most impactful.
To me, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And once you start learning them, I think you will agree too.
they take your time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm...
I was saying that they are so difficult. I don't think I can record them in the near future. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe someday. Uh-huh. Right. Well, you've got other things going on. Well, the album's out right now. Everybody knows about it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, it was great meeting you guys, Yan and Joe.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Likewise.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad.
Thanks for having me here.
No problem. Thanks so much for joining me, guys.
All right, guys, that does it for this episode. This is Yen playing off of her album, Beautiful. The song, He Was Beautiful, otherwise known as a cavatina to many of us classical guitarists. Make sure you visit Camille Nelson on August 18th to check out her new album. And make sure you donate to the show. It's time to get those donations in. This is, as you know, every summer I sort of have a little bit of a pledge drive. I might do that in the intro next time. You know, we want to start making more money at this so that I don't have to take months off at a time. This takes a lot of work. And if you guys can help, it's a big deal. And it's just a little bit. We're not even talking about $10 here. We're talking about anything you can or I'm willing to part with. Just, you know, for the hour plus of information that you're receiving. All right, you can Venmo me. And you can Venmo me at Brett. That's B-R-E-T. Not slash, but what do you call that? Probably shouldn't have got this better. You can Venmo me at BrettWilliams3. That's Brett-Williams-3 at Venmo. If you have a Venmo account, that's probably the best way because they don't take any money out of the account on either side. Or you can PayPal, the old-fashioned way. And if that they take a bit, but if you feel more comfortable with that, that's directly connected to your credit card. You can PayPal, BrettWilliamsMusic.com, BrettWilliamsMusic.com. Go to the podcast section and donate on the right. And again, if you're more comfortable with Venmo, which is what the kids are using these days, it's at Brett-Williams-3. There is a picture of me looking a little bit like Mozart or George Washington or something like that. All right, so I'm that guy. And if you Venmo me, or you want to PayPal me, it'll make a huge difference when we get these episodes out. Okay, I'll see you next time with Roberto Fabbri, a Roman guitarist. Great interview, and I look forward to seeing you guys in a couple of weeks. Thanks.